spokesman for George Bush much longer. He resigned today. No replacement has yet been named. And Karl Rove will continue as political advisor, but he's giving up the job of coordinating policy. That job will now go to Joel Kaplan, who is the chief deputy to the new White House chief of staff, Josh Bolton. Russia and China are resisting Security Council action about Iran, so the U.S. is now reportedly thinking of turning to the U.N. Nuclear Watchdog Agency to try to pressure Iran over nuclear enrichment. Diplomats are saying an American delegation to the International Atomic Energy Agency is talking with envoys from other countries to assess support for a special meeting of the agency. For weeks, U.S. officials have publicly called for shifting attention from the IAEA to the Security Council, which has enforcement powers. But in the Security Council, Russia and China have basically stopped the efforts to demand that Iran stop enriching uranium. Security checkpoints opened again at the airport in Atlanta. They were shut down for about 2 hours today after what was called a suspicious device was detected in a screening machine. There were no departures for more than an hour, and arriving flights delayed at least 90 minutes. In Afghanistan, at least one police officer was hurt in a huge explosion in Kabul. Police say it was believed to have been caused by a rocket. The explosion shook the area near where the U.S. Embassy is located. It sent a large plume of white smoke into the air. A police official says it took place at the state TV building next to the embassy, but he says the rocket apparently was aimed at the embassy building. An embassy spokesperson says they can't confirm that. This is the Air America Radio Network.
I thank Scott for his service to our country. I don't know whether or not the press corps realizes this, but this is a challenging assignment.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thanks for tuning in. It's about 7 past the hour. It's a challenging job. It is to stand out there every day knowing that the people you work for are committing mass murder. And you've got to stand there and say, that's part of an ongoing investigation. It's part of an ongoing investigation. Yeah, it's an ongoing investigation. Yeah, okay. So McClellan has been fired. And there's a reason McClellan has been fired. I'm sure you figured it out. With the troubles, they're going to continue with this White House. It looks like Karl Rove is a subject. There are targets, subjects, and I forget the third category in a criminal investigation by a federal prosecutor. Targets, subjects. Don't email it to me because I've got it here someplace. Anyway, the net is closing. The Fitzgerald investigation is closing on these guys. And with Scott there, it would just be an endless situation of White House reporters saying, well, Scott, you told us on January 12th, 2005. Well, Scott, you told us on June 14th, 2000. Well, Scott, you told us on and on and on and on. And with the cameras there, it is very clear that McClellan's function was to get out there and stonewall. Now, as this thing heats up even more, and it's going to. It really is. They can't have someone out there doing that kind of stonewalling, because then it obviously makes the Bush crime family look as guilty as it is. So they get a new person, new man, new woman out there as press spokesperson for this criminal enterprise known as the Bush administration. And that person cannot be challenged on statements he or she made back on such and such a date. You see how this works? And if the crack White House press corps says to the new person, well, on June 10th, Scott McClellan said, well, the new person can say, I'm sorry, that's Scott, he's gone. You know, I'm me. Now, do you want to address the question at hand? So that's what that's all about. It's simply that McClellan had gotten to the point where he was no longer useful to the Bush crime family, as long as he served a purpose, and that was to obfuscate, perpetuate the lies, distribute the lies, sow the lies as a farmer sows the seed, you know, just sow the lies out there, knowing that media in this country would duly report the lies. That was Scott's function. You know, that's his function. Now, he was an easy target, easy to have his ass kicked, easy to parody him, make fun of him. I really, truly like what Sidney Blumenthal wrote today. I put it at our mini blog at airamericaradio.com. It's right on the front page there. But McClellan is a flea on the windshield of history. That is really, really. How do you recover from that kind of an attack on your existence? You know, I agree. I think Sidney Blumenthal is right on the money. But anyway, that's what the McClellan thing is all about. Yawn. Nobody. I mean, really, it's a little. Step right up, hiya, hiya, ladies and gentlemen. See the blind man. See the whale boy flop around. Hiya, hiya, 10 cents a ticket. You know, it's a little bit of the sideshow. Forget about it. That means squat. As far as Karl Rove, he's been moved laterally. Maybe a little tiny slap on the wrist. But, you know, Rove now is going to do what Rove does best. He's going to go out here and try to, once again, successfully corrupt and poison the political atmosphere in this country in the next 6 month run-up to the November elections. This is what Karl Rove is good at. He is a slime ball. He is a disgusting, you know, Bush doesn't call him turd blossom for nothing. He's just a smelly slime ball. His function is to disrupt, destroy, lead attacks. It was Rove behind the swift boat veterans for Truth attack on John Kerry. Any crap, any filth and slime that has come out from the Republican Party in these political campaigns since 2000 is all Karl Rove's. You know, these 507Ks or whatever the hell they are, these subchapter S, these organizations that buy time independent of the RNC, all bat snot. Every single second purchased on radio or television, every single dime spent is cleared with Karl Rove first. So all this third party nonsense, you know, the Democrats do have third party ads run by labor unions or progressive organizations or pro-choice organizations or Planned Parenthood, you know, whatever it is. But with the Republicans, that's simply not the case. Every single ad, every single attack, every filthy lie, all of it came from Karl Rove. Every single bit of it. This is the old Lee Atwater, the godfather of sleaze and slime and filth. And remember what happened to Lee Atwater. So Rove, who was Atwater's disciple, Rove was like Judas, you know, kissing Jesus when Jesus said, "Come on, man, betray me. I got to do this. We're still friends. Don't worry about it." That's Rove and Atwater. Atwater was Jesus. Rove was Judas. So now Rove is Jesus or something. I don't know. I get lost in my own little analogies there. I mention all this because really and truly, these shakeups today mean nothing of substance, nothing whatsoever. It does temporarily divert attention away from the fact, though, that Rumsfeld is still on deck. He's still there. You know, this poisonous, evil old bastard is the one that should be fired, indicted, tried, jailed for the rest of his life for the crimes against humanity that he has committed. And you know it's true. I don't care who you are listening to this program. You know that Rumsfeld is guilty of war crimes. He's a war criminal. There is no question about this. None. In the testimony given by the general from Guantanamo in a lawsuit where it stated categorically that Rumsfeld was down there assisting in the dressing of these detainees in women's underwear and just on and on and on. All sorts of things that have been prohibited by our laws, by international laws, by treaties, by conventions of war and how war is to be conducted and yada, yada, yada. And the fact that the Bush thugs say we're not bound by these laws anymore, that doesn't mean anything. It means nothing. That's why there's so many countries right now that Henry Kissinger can't go to. Of course, he'll escape. Kissinger will escape. He'll die. And all the corpses that are howling into the night that are there because of the machinations of Henry Kissinger will never have their blood answered. Well, the same is true with Rumsfeld. The same will be true with this murderous old bastard. So everybody's supposed to stay focused, you see, on Rove, who is a real devil. He is, not in the religious sense. I mean, he's just a demon. He's just a foul, vile-breathed demon. His job now is to get out here and corrupt the political process. And Scott McClellan, you wind up somewhere working in a lobby firm. Don't worry about Scott McClellan. He served his time. He has served this moron for 7 years now, going all the way back to the Texas days. So Scott will be taken care of. Maybe they'll give him sit him on the board of directors, University of Texas or something. But Scott will land on his well-padded ass and do quite well for himself after having stood out there as a filthy liar for the past, especially the past 6 years. Ah! We have a new song parody for you tonight. We're going to play coming back after this break. You got to hear this. Thanks to the band The Real Baby Jesus. Thanks to the Huffington Post and a slew of email. The song is titled "I'm the Decider." Stick around. You're going to love this. This is Air America. It's rock and roll. You gotta see the show. It's rock and roll. Oh, right before your eyes. With laughter from the skies. And he laughs until he cries. And he dies. And he dies.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement, and now we're trying to develop a Silver Rights Movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
I hear the voices, and I read the front page, but I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.
Yeah.
I'm the decider.
Tiananmen Square.
21 past the hour. All right, we want to play this for you, and again, thanks to the band named The Real Baby Jesus and The Huffington Post, which is where we pulled the sound, and just a whole bunch of folks who emailed You got to hear this. You got to hear this. So here it is. I'm the decider.
Be a change.
Corporation profits, bloody oil money. I'm above the law and I'll decide it's right or wrong. I am the egghead. I'm the commander. I'm the decider. Coo-coo-coo-choo. Baghdad City policemen sitting pretty little targets in a row. See how they die when strapped, no bloody mothers cry. I'm lying. I'm wrong. I'm lying. I'm wrong. Yeah, let's take the Tony up. Imaginary WMDs. Classifying facts, exposing secret agents, taxed to follow wealthy, leaving all the poor behind. I am the egghead. I'm the commander. I'm the decider.
I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.
Sitting in a White House garden, talking to the Lord. But my thoughts would be busy, busy hatching if I only had a brain. I am the egghead. I'm the commander. I'm the decider. Ooh, 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 ooh.
We got cheated by the Texans. That's how this all works. Last time was in. Don Rumsfeld is doing a fine job. He's not only transforming the military, he's fighting the war on terror.
The baby, the real baby Jesus. Thank you, boys. Now, if you want that, go to Huffington Post. We don't have it where we can email it to you. But thanks to everybody who turned us on to it. I do appreciate it. That was that's a way to bring this filthy, corrupt regime down, is just keep hammering them with parody and the evil sickness. The evil, dark humor that they inspire, right? Now, we have some moron sounds for you tonight from the decider. He was speaking to middle school science students yesterday at what he called a maggot school. A maggot school. We just have a few, so don't panic and head for the doors, okay? It's fun to hear Bush talk about how the government invented the internets, considering how his right-wing buddies skewered Al Gore for making the same comments. But anyway, it's always fun to hear the Bush bastard ramble about sunspots and microdrive storage. Yeah, you're going to hear him use words in these sound bites that he has no freaking idea what the words mean. But he's in front of elementary school students, or is it middle school students? So he's got to sound, educated and stuff. Right? So he uses a whole bunch of words as if he had a clue about what he was telling the kids at the maggot school. Oh, and we're going to be bidding a fond farewell, of course, to Simple Scotty McClellan tonight, the quacking quackaroo. The stress must have really gotten to him. I swear it. And there was no Jeff, me love you, long time Gannon to ease his stress when the workday was done. You know, no massages in the White House massage room. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Truly, one more press conference and poor Scotty's head would have started spinning faster than Rove at a grand jury hearing. But anyway, we've got that for you tonight, so we want you to stick around and have just a good time. When we come back, what are we going to do when we come back? I have no idea. I guess we'll play, we'll get some of the sound out of the way as quickly as we can so we can move on to more sane parts of the program about, you know, explosions in downtown Kabul, Afghanistan, missile attacks from the Taliban. Oh, we freed 50 million people! We got the Taliban on the run! You know, Afghanistan is a total, complete narco state run by bandits. And there's only one place where there's any semblance of order, and that's Kabul, the capital. And today, was it today? Hit with rockets. Oh, well, that's the Bush crime family.
Now what good makes him think that way? What good makes him act that way?
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Every generation has a story to tell. For those who lived through the war in Iraq, it's The Last True Story I'll Ever Tell by John Crawford. The New York Times best-selling account of a man who opposed the war but fought on the front lines. The Last True Story I'll Ever Tell is the first on-the-ground memoir to make an impact, raves the Times Book Review. Jon Stewart of The Daily Show says it's a wonderful read. Time Magazine calls it harrowing and exquisite. Read The Last True Story I'll Ever Tell, now a Riverhead paperback.
Who was the first automaker to introduce factory-installed safety belts and roll stability control? First to introduce emergency trunk releases and offer head and chest side airbags? And who is working on future safety innovations like lane departure warning and blind spot alert systems? It's Ford Motor Company. Ford engineers are working to help protect children, keep families safer, and save lives. Ford, driving American innovation.
Your lawn's enemy, grubs. Their mission? To destroy your lawn. So, backed by Bayer's 100-plus years of crop science expertise, Bayer Advanced created season-long grub control with Merit, number one choice of professionals. No other formula kills more grubs, plus a single application protects your lawn for an entire season. Guaranteed. To grubs, it's the end of the road. To lawns, a new lease on life. Bayer Advanced season-long grub control. Better science, better results.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit SearchDogFoundation.org. Made possible by SearchDog USA.
26 before the hour. All right, let's get this out of the way now. Press Secretary Scott McClellan announcing his, quote, resignation, close quote. I'm resigning. I want to spend some time with the family. Yeah, okay. I'm not sure what we're going to do without the quacking quackaroo. I'll tell you what, I'd love to see them put Tory Clark in there, or Tony Snow from, although Tony Snow just had, he's dealing with, post-surgical colon cancer, but, Tory Clark, who used to be the Pentagon spokesperson, she'd stand up there with General Myers, with her hand on his zipper, on his fly, warning him if he said the wrong thing, she was going to reach in and just yank it off. Tory Clark is really, really, really got an ego the size of Mount Everest. On MSNBC, I understand a couple of weeks ago, she forgave the American people for not understanding the Dubai ports deal because she knows the American people are so busy. This woman is just absolutely hell on wheels. I mean, she really is. So she would be great fun. I'd love to see Tory Clark, because she sees everybody in the United States as being stupider than she is. And that's probably the reason that she won't get the job, because, they don't want somebody out there who's, to any degree smarter than the rest of the White House thugs. Scott McClellan certainly was no intellectual threat to anybody, not even Bush, but Tory Clark would be. So while she would be great fun, she's not going to get the job. All right. So anyway, the quacking quackaroo is gone. The least intelligent White House spokesman in history, apparently, goes along with the least intelligent, the worst president, according to Rolling Stone, the worst president in the history of this republic. And this frees up Scott to spend time with Jeff and his wife and whomever else. So here we go. Simple Scotty McClellan, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm here to announce that I will be resigning as White House Press Secretary. Mr. President, it has been an extraordinary honor and privilege to have served you for more than 7 years now, the last 2 years and 9 months as your Press Secretary. The White House is going through a period of transition.
Yeah.
Change can be helpful, and this is a good time and good position to help bring about change. I'm ready to move on. You have accomplished a lot over the last several years with this team, and I've been honored and grateful to be a small part of a terrific and talented team of really good people.
Oh, sit down and shut up. You're a flea on the windshield of history. You had nothing to do with anything except to stand out there like a doofus and lie. The White House, he says, is going through a period of transition. Yeah, indictments are coming. That's your transition. And I love this. He says, change can be helpful, and this is a good time and good position to help bring about change. Christ, it sounds like Bush. I'm ready to move on. You're damn right you are. You have accomplished a lot, and that's just the killings. All right, so Bush standing, and did you hear his voice crack? Oh, did you hear Scotty's voice crack? What am I going to do, Mr. President? Oh, so Bush steps up to the microphone. Listen to this.
First of all, I thank Scott for his service to our country.
What?
I don't know whether or not the press corps realizes this, but this is a challenging assignment. Dealing with you all on a regular basis, and I thought he handled his assignment with class, integrity.
Uh-huh.
He really represents the best of his family, our state, and our country. It's going to be hard to replace Scott. But nevertheless, he's made the decision, and I accept it.
See, you can always tell when Bush is lying through his teeth, and that's when he just kind of wanders off. Nevertheless, he's made the decision. Oh, give me a freaking break, will you, George? We realize everybody in America, except that 35% of knuckle-dragging Christian Republicans, fake Christian Republicans, realize that you are just dumber than dog snot. But do you really think that we're that stupid? He's made the decision? And what does this mean? He really represents the best of his family. He represents the best of his family. What does that mean? Does that mean his wife is a trash picker? What does it mean? His parents are street people? What do you mean? He really... play. Can you cue that up and play it again? Because I want to... Listen, I want you to hear how his voice drifts off. This is one of the clues. There are several, but this is one of the vocal cues when Bush is lying.
First of all, I thank Scott for his service to our country. I don't know whether or not the press corps realizes it, but this is a challenging assignment, dealing with you all on a regular basis. And I thought he handled his assignment with class, integrity. He really represents the best of his family, our state, and our country. It's going to be hard to replace Scott. But nevertheless, he's made the decision, and I accept it.
What's his? I don't know whether or not the press corps realizes this, but his is a challenging assignment dealing with you all on a regular basis, or dealing with me and my criminal cabal. Bat's not. All right, now we got a bunch of requests to play and to not play the Quack Quack song. Here's just a couple very quick. This is from P. Rosen, I think. Now that he's left to spend more time with his family, can you please stop playing the Quack Quack song? Every time you do, my head explodes, and my significant other has to get the mop out. When the next babbling liar is chosen, maybe you can have a contest for a new song. And then Jim writes, howdy, Mike, I can't believe this terrible day has come where we have to bid the quacking quackaroo adieu. So sad. Who will be there to tell us that it's an ongoing investigation that is ongoing and that he just can't comment because the investigation is ongoing and it's an ongoing investigation? Days of darkness with no joy will surely follow Snotty Scotty's departure for us, his loyal followers. In view of this terrible turn of events, I hope that tonight you feature a bit of the Quack Quack song so that we can say a proper tribute, pay a proper tribute to such an estimable human being. All right, so in response to a rapidly diminishing number of requests, both pro and con, we have at least a minute here of Molly's favorite song, and it became ours in reference to Scott McClellan.
He led the honors with a quack, 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 quack. He led the honors with a quack, quack, quack. Down to the river they would go, wibble wobble to and fro. But the one little duck with the feather on his back, he left the others with the quack, quack, quack.
All together now.
Quack, 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 quack. He left the others with the quack, quack, quack. Home from the river they would come, wibble wobble, home, home, home. But the one little duck with the feather on his back, he led the others with the quack, 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 quack. He led the others with the quack, quack, quack.
It goes on. It goes on for about 4 or 5 minutes, but I'm afraid of the number of listeners that we will lose, because that song will, like most children's songs, make you want to rip your eyes out. And then Reggie in Granada Hills, California, not to be confused with Reg, who is with TVNewsLies.org. Reggie writes in, Brother Mike, to any Democrats celebrating Karl Rove's reassignment, quote, quote, wake up. With Bush's poll numbers going down as fast as oil prices are moving up, it was a matter of time that they shifted back into the, it was only a matter of time until they shifted back into their campaign mode. The upcoming midterm elections have Republicans nervous that they stand a serious risk of losing control, and who better to help bail them out than the turd blossom himself? Democrats running for office in November should do a gut check, then prepare for the slime. It's on the way. Yeah, it is. But again, what Sidney Blumenthal wrote today is just right on the money. When we come back, I want to share just a few sentences about what he wrote about McClellan. But then he makes a couple other points about Karl Rove has now become a subject of the investigation into Leakgate. We'll be right back. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hey, truth seekers, the Republican fools put an idiot in the White House. Bush's war machine is bankrupting our country, and middle-class America is screwed again. Hi, I'm Mike Malloy, and it's time Bush and his cronies get what they deserve, and you can be the one to make it happen. Go to ImpeachBushGame.com. That's ImpeachBushGame.com, and get your revenge by sending a conservative criminal to federal prison or to the Iraq War. Impeached doesn't pull any punches, folks. And if you haven't ordered your game yet, go to ImpeachBushGame.com and do it today.
You've got lawn weeds and crabgrass growing, well, like weeds. Until they're up against the science of Bayer Advanced All-in-One Weed Killer. All-in-One kills both lawn weeds plus crabgrass in one easy step, without harming your lawn. Other leading brands take two products to finish the job. Got two types of weeds? Grab one simple solution and bring them back down to earth. Bayer Advanced All-in-One Weed Killer. Better science, better results.
fully with that investigation, cooperating fully with the special prosecutor, cooperate fully with the investigation, cooperate fully with the special prosecutor.
I'm not going to discuss the investigation.
Our policy is not to comment on an investigation while it's ongoing. There is an ongoing investigation. Investigation's ongoing at this time. This investigation has been ongoing. That's a question relating to an ongoing investigation. This is a question relating to an ongoing investigation. That's questions relating to an ongoing investigation. While this is an ongoing investigation, I'm not going to comment on an investigation while it's ongoing. We're just not going to comment any further on an ongoing investigation. We're not going to comment on the investigation while it's ongoing. While it's an ongoing investigation, we're not going to comment on it. That's a question relating to the investigation, so I'm going to pass on that, and I've said all I'm going to say on it. We're just not going to comment any further. I'm not going to comment on the investigation, though, beyond that. I'm not going to comment.
Yeah, okay. All right! That's one of the reasons they got rid of him, because the crack White House press corps, now that Bush's poll numbers are in the mid-30s, has decided to get a little bit aggressive. Huh? Want to know about that there Karl Rove thing? Want to know about that there Jack Abramoff and that Valerie Plame and Joe Wilson thing? So, Scotty has just been put into that mode. Not going to comment on the ongoing investigation. Well, time to get rid of him. He's gone. So, Sidney Blumenthal today, writing at his blog site, says, and this is true, the resignation of Scott McClellan is an event of almost complete insignificance, except insofar as the beleaguered White House presents it as an important change. Yeah, that's very true. Like I said a minute ago, this means nothing. It doesn't mean a damn thing. It means absolutely nothing, except that McClellan is no longer useful to these ghouls. They need somebody out there now, because the really tough stuff is going to come here. I don't know what, within the next 30 days. The really hardcore stuff is going to come. That's why I would assume that within the next a very short period of time, there will be some sort of a terror attack in the United States that claims a lot of lives, or an attack, a tactical nuclear attack on Iran, or the Bush crime family will engineer some sort of a crisis somewhere. Because the inner circle of the Bush crime family is, I think, I'm trying to read into what Blumenthal has written and what Fitzgerald has revealed from the Libby filings, grand jury filings, and also what the Libby defense team has filed in response. But Blumenthal says, meanwhile, the Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld under siege from dissenting ex-generals demanding his firing for arrogant incompetence stays. Blumenthal writes, McClellan is a flea on the windshield of history. On the podium, he performed his duty as a slow-flying object swatted by a frustrated and flustered press corps. Inexpressive, occasionally inarticulate, and displaying a limited vocabulary, his virtue was his unwavering discipline in sticking to his uninformative talking points, fending off pesky reporters, and defending the president and all of the president's men to the last measure of his devotion. Inside the Bush White House, he was a non-player, a factotum, the instrument of Karl Rove. McClellan played no part in the inner councils of state. He was the blank wall erected in front of the press to obstruct them from seeing what was on the other side. McClellan's stoic facade was unmatched by a stoic interior. He was a vessel for his masters, did whatever he was told, put out disinformation without objection, and was willing to defend any travesty. He is the ultimate dispensable man. Woo! The ultimate dispensable man. Which is so true. But then Blumenthal goes on about the events that could really shake the Bush White House are the ones that are coming. This past Monday in Chicago, the grand jury, a jury found the former Republican governor there and former Secretary of State. He was Secretary of State for, 8 years and governor for 4? Or have I got that backwards? Anyway, he was in the highest levels of government in Illinois for 12 years. He was found guilty of 18 counts of corruption. And the trial was the climax of a nine-year investigation. I remember we were in Chicago when this began, and we've been back from Chicago for 6 years now. So it was a nine-year investigation that yielded 75 convictions. This is how corrupt the Republican Party was in Illinois. A lot of people make jokes about the corrupt Democratic Party, and granted, the Democratic Party in Illinois, certainly in Chicago, during the days of Old Man Daley, was filthy, corrupt up to its eyeballs, no question about it. But the Republicans convinced the fools in the state of Illinois to put them in office, and this is a result. 75 convictions over the 9 years has been going on, including some of the most powerful people in the Republican Party now in Illinois. This investigation began by looking into bribery for driver's licenses. There was a case of if you wanted a driver's, especially a truck driver's license to operate your vehicles in Illinois, you had to contribute money to George Ryan's, I don't know, campaign fund, election fund, or slush fund, or whatever. And you didn't have to take the test. Just give us the money. And they were handing out driver's licenses to anybody that come up with $1,000 or $10,000, whatever the price was. One of the people that got a license was a person who couldn't read English. And he was driving his vehicle on the highway and smashed into a van. And the result of the smash-up was the family was wiped out. The children in a family, four or five children, were burned to death. I think the parents survived. This is one of the direct results. Most Republicans do cause a lot of death and destruction and corruption and fear and pain. Anyway, he was found guilty on 18 counts. Now, he's facing hard time. George Ryan is facing really, really, really long period of time. He's not a young man. I believe he's in his 70s. So he can look forward probably to spending the rest of his life in prison. Now, a little bit more on this, because this is important. The prosecutor in the case was Patrick Fitzgerald. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Every generation has a story to tell. For those who lived through the war in Iraq, it's The Last True Story I'll Ever Tell by John Crawford. The New York Times best-selling account of a man who opposed the war but fought on the front lines. The Last True Story I'll Ever Tell is the first on-the-ground memoir to make an impact, raves the Times Book Review. Jon Stewart of The Daily Show says it's a wonderful read. Time magazine calls it harrowing and exquisite. Read The Last True Story I'll Ever Tell, now a Riverhead paperback.
You know when you open a birthday card from Grandma? She's usually good for, what, like $5? Well, now imagine that you have 100 grandmas. It feels like that.
Have you ever gotten out of your car and something catches your eye on the ground? You walk over and find a $5 bill? Okay, now pretend you find a $495 bill next to it. It's just like that.
New GEICO customers report average annual savings of $500 on their car insurance. Discover how it feels and how much you could save. Go to GEICO.com. Simple as that.
America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. Immigration agents have been rounding up suspected illegal workers around the country. Agents raided manufacturing facilities today as part of a crackdown on employers. Scores of workers of a company that makes crates and pallets arrested today in Houston, Phoenix, Cincinnati, Albany, New York. Federal law enforcement officials say other company offices were targeted by immigration and customs agents who are pursuing a criminal case against the company. Tomorrow, Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff and Immigration and Customs Chief Julie Myers are expected to lay out an enforcement strategy that's targeting employers who disregard immigration law. Several immigration proposals pending in Congress would increase penalties against employers who hire illegal immigrants. Joshua Bolton making changes as expected, the new White House chief of staff remaking the staff inside the Bush White House. Since he took over from Andy Card last week, Bolton reportedly working to revamp personnel today. White House spokesman Scott McClellan announced he's stepping down. He will remain until a successor is named. Possibilities mentioned include Tony Snow, host of a program on Fox News Radio, Dan Senior, the former coalition spokesman in Iraq, Trent Duffy, a former White House deputy press secretary, and Rob Nichols, a former Treasury spokesman. Also today, White House political advisor Karl Rove gave up a key policy role. He had taken on the responsibilities as chief policy coordinator just over a year ago. That strengthened Rove's influence over Homeland Security, domestic policy, the economy, national security. Some people, though, thought that Rove was stretched too thin. Rove also still under investigation by special counsel Patrick Fitzgerald for his role in the CIA leak case. The policy coordination job now shifting to Joel Kaplan. He's been promoted to deputy chief of staff from the number two job in the White House budget office, where he was Josh Bolton's lieutenant. More changes expected. White House officials doing nothing to discourage the speculation that Treasury Secretary John Snow will probably be leaving. China's president calls trade between his country and America a win-win outcome. Hu Jintao was in Washington State visiting a Boeing plant today. China confirmed a deal to buy 80 Boeing 737 jets a few days ago. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. About 7 past the hour. All right, just a second here. We've got 1, 2, 3 sound bites from Bush at the Parkland Maggot School. It's a middle school in Rockville, Maryland. He was there today or yesterday. Anyway, back to Sidney Blumenthal here. His blog today, Walking the White House Plank, after he sufficiently slices and dices Scott McClellan, he points out that what I mentioned right before the break, that Patrick Fitzgerald, who has led this investigation into former Republican Governor George Ryan and a whole bunch of people over the past almost decade, got 75 convictions, including yesterday Governor Ryan himself. Now, I have to say I have mixed emotions, not about the verdict, because Ryan was really a corrupt, or just a totally corrupt son of a bitch. But it was the kind of corruption that you come to expect from Republican governors. Look at the situation in Ohio. Look at the situation in Florida. Look at the situation in Texas. You just kind of expect it. The sort of corruption that causes people to die, people to lose their jobs, people to be turned out into the streets. However, Ryan had one redeeming quality, and that was a good year and a half. And I don't think this was political. I don't think he was trying to get points with anybody. If he was, it obviously didn't work. But for about a year and a half, 2 years prior to his leaving office, he began to express an awful lot of doubt about the fairness or the justification for the use of the death penalty in capital cases. Ryan came to understand that innocent people were being sentenced to death in Illinois. In just the time that we were there, I think there were 7 people who were freed from death row, not on technicalities, but as a result of DNA evidence, all sorts of situations. 3 of them we had on our program. These were convicted murderers. These were people sentenced to die. Now, you know, Republicans want the appeals process to be made as short as possible. And in fact, they have shortened it. They have made it to the point now that if you are sentenced to death for something you didn't do and evidence turns up to exculpatory evidence that shows you're innocent, If your attorney hasn't filed that by a certain deadline, you die anyway. This is how sick these sons of bitches are. I hate Republicans to the bottom of my being. I just need to state that again every once in a while. Every Republican, not just the office holders, but anyone who votes Republican, anyone who says they're Republican. Because if you do that, you are condemning innocent people to death, you crazy sons of bitches. You really are. You're condemning innocent people to death, and you make me sick, and I hate you. I just hate you. In a way, I hope there is some little thin dimension where all your gods and saints and freaks live so that, and where hell exists for you, so that when you get there, you'll just burn forever. Ooh, God, I hate you. I just hate you. I hate you so much. So Ryan did that, and finally, about a couple of weeks, I guess, before he left office, he commuted all, roughly 160 people on death row, commuted their death sentences in Illinois to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Now, granted, some of those people on death row, probably the vast majority of them, are guilty as charged. But that was not Ryan's point. Ryan's point was, I think, that, better that 10 guilty people should be freed than one innocent person executed, which is not your standard Republican line. Republicans want to murder anything they can get their hands on except fetuses. They want to murder people of color. They want to murder women. They want to murder foreigners. They want to murder immigrants. They want to murder their own parents. They want to rape their daughters, bugger their sons. Republicans are sick, sick, crazed people. They're out of control. Part of it is Republicanism, and part of it is this phony, fake Christianity that they all practice that has nothing to do with the teachings of Jesus. So I have that problem with Ryan. He did something that I thought was just amazingly just in a country that, the United States, that lusts after murder and revenge and invading countries and supporting the sons of bitches who do this kind of stuff. The bloodlust that is rampant in this country is just sickening. And I think the rest of the world looks at us sometimes and thinks, my God, it's like an abattoir over there. They're sick. They're degenerate. But the death penalty, to me, is something that should never, ever, ever, ever be applied. When someone commits a so-called capital crime, lock that miserable bastard up for the rest of his or her life. I had this weird idea one time. You put them in isolation for the rest of their lives because they have proven that they are just not fit to... I'm talking about the real heinous crimes. And this is arguable. I mean, I can be battered down on this argument very, very easily. But you put these people in an isolated cell, no visitors, no nothing. Of course, they would go mad after a while. But there's a button on the wall, and when they've had enough, they push the button, and everything slams shut, becomes airtight, and fumes come in, carbon monoxide, and they're dead. But it's not the state committing the murder. It's the person committing suicide. The state may be inducing the person to commit suicide. So my idea is not very good. It's almost as perverted as the people who support the death penalty. So what to do with people who rape and murder children and cut them into pieces? You know, I don't know. I really don't know what you do with people like that. But to give the state the power to execute people gives the state the power to make mistakes and execute innocent people. That's a given. I don't want to get in a discussion about death penalty. Don't send me any emails. Don't bring it up on the telephone. I'm never, ever, ever, ever interested in that topic. Just like I'm never, ever, ever, ever interested in discussing abortion. None of that stuff. You know, it's just so old and full of cobwebs and ugliness. I just don't want to talk about it. But that's what he did. That's what Ryan did. So I've got some problems with trying to assess this man. But Fitzgerald didn't. He had him convicted of 18 counts of corruption. This is serious time he's going to serve. Now, this is the same Fitzgerald, of course, who is the special prosecutor in charge of the investigation into the Valerie Plame case. And as you know, so far he's only indicted Irving Libby, Cheney's chief of staff, on 5 counts of perjury and obstruction of justice. Now, here's the avalanche that's heading, I think, for the White House. 2 weeks ago, Fitzgerald filed a motion before the federal court in this Irving Libby case, stating that his investigation, Fitzgerald's investigation, has proved that the White House engaged in, quote, concerted action from a plan to discredit, punish, or seek revenge against, close quote, former Ambassador Joseph Wilson. Now, Fitzgerald declared further in this filing, in this motion, that he had gathered, quote, evidence that multiple officials in the White House, close quote, had outed Valerie Plame's clandestine identity to reporters as an element of revenge. Now, as Blumenthal reports today, last week, Libby counterfiled to demand extensive documents in the possession of the prosecutor, Fitzgerald. His filing, written by his lawyers, reveals that he intends to put Karl Rove on the stand as a witness to question him about his leaking of Valerie Plame's name to reporters and presumably his role in what Fitzgerald calls concerted action by members of the White House staff in this action against Wilson. Now, in his request for documents from Rove's files, Irving Libby dropped the mention of Rove's current legal status. He inadvertently, I guess, mentioned Rove's current legal status. Now, for months, Rove's attorney has insisted that Rove is in the clear. But in Libby's filing, he insisted that he was entitled, quote, to disclosure of such documents in Rove's files, even if Mr. Rove, here it comes, remains a subject of a continuing grand jury investigation, close quote. If Rove remains a subject. Now, Karl Rove, here it is a subject of Fitzgerald's investigation. And that's the headline buried in this filing by Irving Libby. This is something you're not going to hear Scott McClellan talk about or his successor. This is something you're not going to hear anybody talk about. But Blumenthal parsed this out, the implications of this are astonishing.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 75,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals. Call right now and we'll also include for free the RX Saver discount prescription card. The RX Saver is accepted in most pharmacies nationwide and provides savings of up to 60% off most medications. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Use the Optimum Health discount card risk-free for 30 days and start saving now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
Right-wing talk radio, you found a home. with Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. So to finish this up, in trying to defend himself, defend their client, Libby's attorneys have requested information that Fitzgerald has regarding Fitzgerald's findings on this whole tawdry affair, and they in their request for this information, they have dropped the mention of Rove's current legal status. Now, like I said right before the break, for months, this is what the way Blumenthal puts it, for months, Rove's attorney, Robert Luskin, has assured the press that his client, who is believed to be vulnerable to indictment for perjury, is in the clear. But Libby insisted that he was entitled to, quote, disclosure of such documents in Rove's files, even if Mr. Rove remains a subject of a continuing grand jury investigation, close quote. So there it is. The headline buried in this filing is that Karl Rove is a subject of Fitzgerald's investigation. Now, what that means, very simply, and I know a lot of you who are lawyers already a mile ahead of me, in white-collar criminal investigations, individuals who fall into the purview of the prosecutor fit into one of three categories. You can be a witness, a subject, or a target. Rove's attorney has suggested that Rove is simply a witness. That's a lie. He's a subject. There it is in the filing by Libby's attorneys. The people on the inside know. They know. It's us out here who haven't been told yet. So going back to the idea of have a Merry Fitzmas, I think there's some stuff coming here that's going to be devastating. Now, if a prosecutor decides, when a prosecutor is dealing with a subject, that's someone the prosecutor believes may have committed a crime and is under investigation. And if the prosecutor decides that he's got enough evidence during his investigation, he's accumulated enough evidence to prove the guilt, he will change the designation of that person from subject to target and then indict him. And as Blumenthal points out today, having successfully completed his most extensive investigation and prosecution, ending with the conviction of former Republican Governor George Ryan, Patrick Fitzgerald returns to the unresolved case before him. The federal grand jury, considering his evidence, began meeting again this morning. Karl Rove remains a subject for now. So I'm hoping that Fitzgerald turns out to be the straight shooter that he appears to be. Now, he is a prosecutor. I guess a lot of people have pointed out his political affiliation, but, you know, there really are some people who are able to rise above their political affiliation. I still believe that anyone who votes Republican is supporting mass murderers, liars, thieves, cheats, sneaks, deceivers, and deciders. But maybe Fitzgerald is the type who can, in his professional life anyway, in his political life, he may support and have no problem with supporting a freak like George Bush. But in his professional life, Because Ryan was one of the leading lights at one time in the Republican firmament. He really was. He really was. The governor, former Secretary of State of Illinois, governor of Illinois. There was casual mention of his name winding up as a vice presidential candidate. I think when they were batting around George Bush's name, when Freakoid went out to find Bush a running mate, you know, when Cheney went out, it was talked about George Ryan. And then Freakoid decided that he would be the perfect candidate. All right, now I'm going to do a couple of these Bush quotes, and then we're going to take your phone calls, all right? We got time to squeeze one in here, Kathy? We don't? Yeah, I think we do. This is Bush discussing American competitiveness, something called the American Competitiveness Initiative, and he's at this middle school for aerospace technology in Rockville, Maryland. So just for kicks, we have some moron sounds from Chucklenut's speech to smart kids yesterday. Josh Bolden shouldn't let him talk all sciencey and stuff, even to middle schoolers. It's embarrassing.
We must increase federal support for vital basic research. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but the Internet began as a Defense Department project to improve military communications. That was an area where the federal government spent research money. And out of that research and development came the internet, which has substantially changed the way we live. The iPod, interesting enough, was built on years of government-funded research in microdrive storage and electrochemistry and signal compression.
Talk to me, George. Tell me about microdrive storage. Use it in a sentence. Something not written for you by whoever writes for it. Government-funded research in microdrive storage and electrochemistry and signal compression. What does all that mean, George? These are things you're an expert on, huh? Yeah. I just see those little kids sitting there going, damn, what's he talking about? Signal compression, doo-dah, doo-dah. Give me some of that electrochemistry.
Daniel's fork hit me with a trunk of a big old live oak tree. He heard me this morning with the bright sunlight. I'm going to take it in his forward eating.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement. And now we're trying to develop a civil rights movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at OperationHope.org.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
We'll be right back.
kids were coming out of the school system that were who were illiterate. And it wasn't right.
It wasn't right. All right, we've got two more sound bites. I want to get some phone calls in here. So the phone number is 866-303-2270. 866-303-2270. We'll take your phone calls right after these two sound bites. Now, he's talking to middle school students at Parkland Magnet Middle School for Aerospace Technology in Rockville, Maryland, yesterday. And he's already used words like micro drive storage and electrochemistry and signal compression. Okay, now, here he tells the youngsters on how to be competitive in a big, connected, global world where it's hard to feel in charge. I don't know, maybe the middle school students understand what he's trying to say here. I don't.
One of the reasons we're here is to make it clear to the American people that in order for us to be competitive, we've got to make sure that our children have got the skill sets necessary to compete for the jobs of the 21st century. You know, we live in a global world, and that creates uncertainty in some. I understand that. There's a sense of, well, you know, the world is so big and so connected that it's maybe we're really not in charge of things here.
Well, wait a minute. Is that some kind of a religious pitch? What, is Lord Shiva lurking outside the school there, or Thor, or Jesus? Maybe we're not really in charge of things here. What? You know, little kids are looking at each other. Little kid, the middle school students, they're not little, you know. They're, what, 11, 12, 13? They're looking at each other, and they're going, what? These kids are sitting there looking at Raisin Brain going, I see dumb people. They just don't know they're dumb. Global world as opposed to what? A moon world? I mean, what is a global world? Isn't that just a tad redundant? Redundant? Last one from Raisin Brain. Now, in this one he marvels at sunspots and maggots. Sunspots and maggots. Now listen, maybe you can make sense of this. You know, what is our children learning from this freak?
We saw, you know, people using little devices to look for sunspots. We saw the analysis of a parabola curve.
What?
We saw a school that is setting high standards. I saw the children being taught the skills for the jobs of the 21st century today. See, it's possible.
Oh, really?
As a matter of fact, it's happening in a lot of places all across America, just not enough. We have got to educate our children now for the skill sets necessary for tomorrow. And this is a better place. There's no better place to talk about that. And there is no better place to talk about that right here at Parkland Magnet Middle School for Aerospace Technology.
You dumb bastard. Oh, my God. What's with the use of skill sets? How many times did he use it, Kathy, in this little chat up with these kids? Skill sets. That's a little packet with wrenches in it. Isn't it a skill tools, a skill set, and little hammers and wrenches and stuff? But can you play that? Please play it one more time. Right here at Parkland Magnet Middle School. Can you imagine what the teachers and the administrators, much less the kids, sitting there listening to this half-ass, and when he calls them a maggot school? Listen, play it again.
We saw, you know, people using...
Oh, wait a minute. Stop a second. Recue it. He's going to use the word parabola, or the phrase parabola curve here, like he knows, right? You want to grab him and say, use it in a sentence, Georgie! What's a parabola curve? Go ahead! Give me a clue! What? I know you know what a curve is, that's when the road twists. But parabola? Go ahead, play.
We saw, you know, people using little devices to look for sunspots.
Those are called telescopes.
We saw the analysis of a parabola curve.
Woo!
We saw a school that is setting high standards. I saw the children being taught the skills for the jobs of the 21st century today. See, it's possible.
Is it?
As a matter of fact, it's happening in a lot of places all across America, just not enough. We have got to educate our children now for the skill sets necessary for tomorrow. And this is a better place. There's no better place to talk about that. And there is no better place to talk about that right here at Parkland Magnet Middle School for aerospace technology.
Jesus Christ. Right here at Parkland Maggot Middle School. You little bastards. Here, you want me to read about the pet goat? Or do you want me to read to you about parabola curves and electrochemistry? I'm really chock-a-block with big words today, kiddies. It's my new skill set. I have these little words here. Everybody thinks I are dumb. I are not dumb. I are smart. I are the decider, too. Don't any little kiddies forget that. I are the decider. You little maggots, magnets. What the hell is it? What does this say? What does this say? Where's Carl? Jesus God.
You know, the funny thing is, probably when it said the Magnet School for Aerospace Technology, he probably thought they were actually talking about magnets, like refrigerators.
Maggot School for Aerospace. Oh, my God.
You know, when you laugh at this freak and the freaks around him, just a momentary lapse of reason occurs, and you forget that they're responsible for mega death and destruction. They're ruining and the country, the planet, the oceans, the atmosphere, and they're about to convince themselves and attempt to convince the American public that it's okay to use tactical nukes. So I don't know. Sometimes it's a toss-up. Do we laugh? Do we cry? Do we do what Pat Buchanan suggested and get the fiery torches and the pitchforks? Do we arm ourselves? You know, what do you do? I have no idea. Let's do some phone calls, all right? Let's start with Ray, who's calling from Minnesota. Welcome to the program, Ray.
Hey, Michael, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
It's been a long time since we talked, and, of course, you were in River Falls in September, and we got to be face-to-face.
Yeah, we had a good time up there.
And once again, Michael, I want to praise you and Kathy for the work that you do.
Well,
and I want to get two things said before we go off. Number one, this guy has to be removed from office. I listened to Randy Rhodes, your colleague, yesterday, and she interviewed a psychiatrist who basically said that the man is disintegrating,
mm-hmm.
and he needs to be forcibly removed. I'm really serious about this now. The military, you know, they swear to defend and protect the Constitution of the United States. Well, it's time they lived up to their oath. He has to go, and his thugs have to go, and they have to go now.
Yeah, they do.
Number two, I want people to visit our website because there is a world, Michael, in Molly's name, there is a world beyond George Walker Bush and beyond this empire, and we are working on bringing about that transition, and I really want people to jump on our website, www.kalpuli.net. And read the stuff that we've put on it, not just myself, but my colleague David Smith. And, you know, let's start talking about reinventing this nation.
All right, let's pause a second. Let me spell this for people. It's Cal Pulley. That's kalpulli.net.
You got the program, Michael.
Right, kalpulli.net.
Yes, and, you know, I actually love your rant more than I love making the phone calls, man. I just can't get enough of it. I stay up till 3 to hear you.
Well, a lot of this stuff writes itself. you know, we don't need writers. Weak radio talk show hosts need lots of writers. We don't need writers because Bush and his crew of thugs.
Oh my God!
They write the script themselves every single day. All we have to do is copy it down.
He's falling apart, Michael. I mean, he just listened to his voice, the sound of his voice. The guy is not there. His brain is half gone.
Well, he's checking out parabola curves. And
I can't believe what you just played.
I know. It's astonishing. Absolutely astonishing.
Michael, keep it up.
All right. Thanks, Ray. Let's see if we can get a million people to visit your website tonight. Calpulli.net, K-A-L-P-U-L-L-I.net. I've been there a lot of times. It's a great site. Thanks, Ray. Appreciate you checking in. We got a break coming here? Yeah, we do. All right. When we come back, we will take some more phone calls. Okay? So stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Literacy in math, the ability to read and write.
Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 75,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals. Call right now and we'll also include for free the RX Saver discount prescription card. The RX Saver is accepted in most pharmacies nationwide and provides savings of up to 60% off most medications. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Use the Optimum Health discount card risk-free for 30 days and start saving now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
My point to you is that this plan makes sense. It makes sense from not only what sounds, it's commonsensical perspective.
What? 10 before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Diane is calling in from Florida. Diane, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. First time I ever got to talk to you. I really enjoy your show. I live way down here in Florida, and I'm wondering because I think we need to really, really get on the media more than anyone, because I blame them more than anybody. They handle this president like he's something that needs to be with kid gloves. We need to get back to Abramoff. We need to get back to the Skilling. We need to know about the Downing Street memos. We need to know all these things. We need to know about the Franklin cover-up. That's another real good one. Whatever became of Jeff Gannon Ganner. You know, these things are puzzling to me. Why the media just acts like, you know, they have amnesia and they never heard of such a thing.
I know.
They're ruining our country, and it's the media more than anybody.
Well, it is. There's absolutely no question that the reason one of the reasons we're in the horrible state that we're in is because we have a non-existent media
that's
totally sold out and doesn't give a damn. You know, these guys and gals, they have their little star status jobs, the ones that are on television or on the radio. And the producers and the assignment editors, they're not going to do anything to piss off any of the huge corporations that now own these news-gathering organizations, because those huge corporations are very much interested
in... Then we need to all get on the FCC.
Well, no, it won't work either, because that's staffed with Republicans. Look, give up on the media. Just give it up. It's never, ever going to get changed. Matter of fact, Diane, it's only going to get worse. Now, you have to understand that. The only salvation is, I know it sounds trite, but when they say, you be the media, go to the internet, go to the websites and the bloggers and the people who...
Well, I do. You know me. I'm the one that said, Cleveland, you wrote back, not Cleveland, Toledo.
Right.
I said, oops.
Yeah.
So
but,
you know who I am.
Don't ever think for 10 seconds that media are going to turn around, especially television and radio. It is not going
to take back our country.
Well,
our airwaves belong to us.
Well, I'm all for that. I'm all for that. But it's not going to happen. You've got to believe me on this. It's just not going to happen. There's no such thing anymore as independent radio networks or independent television networks. They are all owned, with the exception of this one. All owned by these mega corporations that dictate that what will be said on those networks or those television stations will be nothing that will seriously upset the status quo. So
yeah.
you got to let go of that idea, Diana, and work on...
Well, I'm grasping onto your show. I really enjoy it. You are such a good American.
Well, thanks for tuning in, and all the programs on Air America, as far as I'm concerned, some are stronger than others, for sure.
Yeah.
But
I like that Randy Rhodes, too. She's wonderful.
She absolutely is. But that's a good place to listen, is Air America. All right?
Well, from an old grandma, you're doing good, kid.
Thank you, Diane. Take care. I appreciate it. No, anybody who thinks that media is going to turn around, I used to think, well, all we have to do is just get Democrats in control. No. No. Give it up. I don't care. You're chasing your tail like a puppy going round and round and round and round in circles. If you ever think it'll come back, we crossed two bridges and then blew them up behind us. One in the Reagan era, one in the Clinton era. It's over. Radio, television is there to just take a look at how much focus. For example, I don't know why I'd want to do this, but just for the sake of argument, how much focus is placed on these so-called cable news shows on murder cases, on missing people or murdered people. It's tabloid supermarket video of the most degenerate order. Take a look at some of the other programs like Chris Matthews or O'Reilly. It's trash. Matthews may get big name guests. It's still trash. It doesn't mean anything. I think Keith Olbermann's program on MSNBC is probably the only one out there worth watching. I don't even put the Daily Show in that category anymore. I'm sorry. I just don't. I think Jon Stewart has made some real good comments over the years here recently. I think he pointed out some stuff to the freaks at CNN that resulted in Crossfire being shut down. Crossfire had turned into nothing but people lobbing handfuls of cow dung at each other, and it made no sense. So, but Jon Stewart has also, I think, kind of made it clear. Well, you know what I'm talking about. So anyway, Keith Olbermann's program, Air America Radio Network, and then hundreds, literally hundreds of bloggers out there, websites. You got to be your own media. You have to. But don't. Anyone, I mean, do what you want, but I'm just suggesting don't make the mistake of chasing your tail round and round and round about the media somehow is going to fall back into the hands of real journalists. It will never happen, not in your lifetime, not in your great-grandchildren's lifetime. It's gone. We had a brief period, historically speaking, where media in all its aspects did what it was supposed to do, to a certain extent. But no longer. It's gone. Okay? So just give it up, bite the bullet, grit your teeth, and start your own blog. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. More phone calls, and 1984 at the bottom of the hour. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
America Radio.
Jen, what's up?
Hey, how'd you know I was having a party?
Everyone knows you're having a party.
Yeah, pretty crazy, isn't it?
Totally.
Hey, I'm gonna smoke up. Wanna get high? Here, you'll like this.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Are you as alarmed as I am by the assault on our freedoms by the religious right? An essential element of freedom is the right to choose or reject religious beliefs. And this is why I fully support the Freedom From Religion Foundation as it takes the lead in challenging the growing threat from the religious right in the United States. If you'd like further information on the dangers of living in a theocracy, please call 800-335-4021. 800-335-4021 or visit their website, ffrf.org.
Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser. Oil prices hit another record high Wednesday, more than $73 a barrel before falling back to about $72. High crude prices and tight supplies are causing gasoline prices to spike $3 a gallon in some places around the USA. America's gas inventory was down nearly 5.5 million barrels last week, more than twice the drop than expected. Gas prices have skyrocketed as supplies dwindle and refineries gear up for production of cleaner burning fuel. Economists worry the higher prices will hurt the airline, tourism, and transportation industries and could eventually depress the economy. White House shakeups continue with the resignation of spokesman Scott McClellan and reassignment of Karl Rove to political instead of policy duties. Officials are downplaying reports. It's a demotion for Rove, who will concentrate on trying to get Republicans elected to Congress in November. McClellan's tenure, meanwhile, was marked by contentious briefings about Iraq, faulty WMD intelligence, news leaks, and credibility. In an emotional appearance with President Bush, McClellan said it's time to move on. California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger will get a chance to sit down face-to-face with President Bush. The two will meet later today when the president is in the Silicon Valley for a panel discussion. They're scheduled to talk during the ride from the San Jose airport to the event at Cisco Systems. The governor says he wants to press the president for more federal help to repair the state's levees.
So we want to put the pressure on the federal government because they have already made a big mistake with New Orleans. Here is their chance to do something really good.
Schwarzenegger says he'll also discuss immigration-related issues, health care, and prescription drugs with the president. It will be the first time the two men have met in person in more than a year. More family members of 9/11 victims testified in 9/11 conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui's penalty phase Wednesday. However, they testified for the defense. None of them said anything about how they think Moussaoui should be sentenced. But Marilyn Rosenthal, whose son Josh was killed, said outside the courthouse that the government should be trying other people.
Mr. Moussaoui is the wrong man to be on trial. There are other people who are in the custody of the U.S. government who were central planners for the 9/11 event.
You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. If you're still there, 7 past the hour. Back to the phone calls. David is calling from San Francisco. David, welcome to the program.
Oh, hey, Mike. I hadn't spoken with you in a long, long time.
No, you haven't.
You know, we've got a little internet radio station out here, Enemy Combatant Radio, and so we got this CD from Moody Bluegrass, and I think I emailed you a long time ago to see if you'd like it for part of your bumpers. So.
I think I have heard some of that. Moody Blues played in the country bluegrass style.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. It's surprisingly good. You know, I'm interested in finance, obviously. You know, Bush is pretty much bankrupted the country. I think he's done it intentionally. And I think, you know, earlier in the last segment, you were talking about, you know, how quick he should be leaving and the method in which we should be getting him out. Mm-hmm. I think if we want to make him split quick, we start talking about his personal financial liability. In other words, if someone is negligent and they are warned of their negligence and they fail to act, then they become trebly liable in most states. In other words, you give them what's called constructive notice that they are screwing up. You know, if it's a landlord with a broken porch, if they don't fix it and somebody breaks their leg after they're warned, they become trebly liable.
Yeah, but
so,
do you know what 3 times 9 trillion is?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, that's a...
Well, yeah, that's all the money in the world, isn't it?
Yeah, but these guys have stolen, you know, the Bush heritage. These guys, his grandpa and great-grandpa were into money laundering. So, you know, I was actually wondering about this. Tax day came and went, and how much was Bush worth? He can't be only worth $10 million. He's got to be worth billions.
Mm-hmm.
And how is it, you know, this family is significantly skilled in financial money laundering. So, you know, getting tracking down his dough and getting him to pony up for all of the damages, the reparations. You know, it's kind of interesting that the family got their financial start in dodging reparations from World War I, and now we're going to have to go after them for the same thing. So. And then this, also the issue of historical incompetence. This whole, you know, this guy has been a significant incompetent, and if he wants to, well, I don't even think he cares about his place in history. I think one of the reasons why he's so cavalier about screwing up is he personally is a traitor. He revels in the fact that he is a traitor, and that's why he lavishly lies and really doesn't care. So, you know, it's one of these what's the expression for it? We've got to psych him out in order to get him out of there, either for his financial liability or I'm not sure about his place in history because I think personally he's wearing some emblem of another nation underneath his pinstripe suit.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. It'd be Saudi Arabia. I've seen the cover of the issue of Rolling Stone that I believe will be out Monday. That's the one that labels Bush by this historian, I'm drawing a blank on his name, the worst president in the history of the United States. There are versions of the article out on the internet already. It can be read, but it's a Rolling Stone cover story, and I think it will be proven to be true. I mean, I won't be around to see it, but I think 50 years from now, 60 years from now, people will look back on the Bush 2 administration as truly one of the most corrupt and vicious in history. I believe that. David, I have to leave there. Thank you,
sir.
Hey,
well, no trouble. Have a good week.
Don't be a stranger. Call us again. Love hearing from you. Barbara is calling from Cave Creek, Arizona. Hey, Barbara.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm fine. Okay, first of all, I just want you to know that that's how I got my driver's license. My dad, the union president in Illinois, took me in 1969 over to a driver's, you know, one of these places where you're supposed to get your driver's license. We walked out because my dad didn't want me to drive the Cadillac.
Right, but your dad, I bet your dad didn't have to...
He made me go to school and learn how to drive a car.
Yeah, but I bet you didn't have to make a political contribution. Besides, you say in 69?
Yeah.
Well, George Ryan was...
This was the know, that's just kind of how things get done in Illinois.
Sure. But what Ryan was doing, and even
I
back
know what he was doing.
Yeah, when he was Secretary of State, they were selling this,
right?
Selling licenses, and at least you and your dad could read English, right?
Yes. But the other thing is, I think he's waiting for Bluetooth. You know, when he can't talk, when Bush can't articulate.
Uh-huh.
I think he's waiting for the next line to come through his Bluetooth earpiece.
I think you're probably right.
I don't think he's smart enough to lie. And when he can't lie, when nobody's speaking to him, that's when he makes up all this gobbledygook, when he doesn't have the Bluetooth on. But when he's hesitating, that's when somebody's feeding him the stuff, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, I certainly think he's, what did you say, he's not what enough to lie? He's too stupid?
He's not smart enough to lie. He's not articulate enough.
Well, no, but I think he is a liar. His whole life is a liar.
Yeah, no, he's a liar. He has no qualms about lying. I'm just saying he's not smart enough to lie on the spot, you know, when he's in these.
Oh, rapid fire, put it together and put a coherent thought of. Yeah, okay, I see what you're saying. Sure.
Yeah, I think they're Bluetoothing him some of these comments.
Yeah.
But also the bomb going off in Nevada is scaring the heck out of me because. They're going to just, you know, like, shake loose San Francisco. I'm convinced he's working for China, Saudi Arabia, and who God only knows who else. And our boss is here, the Chinese ambassador, who knows who.
Mm-hmm.
And he's here, and he's meeting with Bush, but they're not talking about it, but he met with Bill Gates first. He had a state dinner with Bill Gates because he's protecting his investments.
We talked about that briefly last night. Hu Jintao, I guess his name. He has no interest in George Bush.
He owns the country.
Right. He knows Bush is a coward. Bush proved that. Remember, right after he took office, and one of our spy planes got into a tussle with a Chinese MiG, and we had to crash land it. The crew did.
Yeah.
On a Chinese island, and that plane eventually came back to the United States in crates on a Soviet aircraft, transport aircraft. In cut up in pieces. And
well, I think he's here just to check out his investments.
I think he is too.
You know, and he's upset. I think part of the shakeup could be that, you know, I mean, the last time there was any, you know, thing that Bush changed was when he went over to Mongolia on a visit, and he came back, and suddenly all these other things started to happen. It was like he gets orders from over there. So now he's over here, so we'll see what their next little move is.
It's just,
I think he's the boss.
It's just weirdness of the highest dimension. Thanks, Barbara.
All right.
I appreciate you checking in. Yeah, Hu Jintao has absolutely no. He'll wind up in Washington when Thursday night, Friday night, is it tomorrow night or Friday night or Saturday night, whatever. Big state dinner, 21 gun salute, yada yada yada. Although is it a state dinner or is it just a formal dinner? There is, you know, in the diplomatic circles, there's all sorts of levels that you can work through. It may not be a state dinner.
I think actually Hu Jintao was upset that it wasn't going to be a formal state dinner, and it was going to be actually something less formal, like a luncheon or something. I'm sure he's just thinking, you know, please God, just don't let him puke on me.
Yeah, I'm sure he probably is. Like his daddy threw up on the Javanese, right? That was when his daddy went over and got, what was it, $2 million for a 15-minute speech. I'm way off on that, but. I seem to remember it that way. Steve is calling from Scarborough, Maine. Steve, welcome to the program.
Oh, good morning.
Hey.
Well, I guess I don't have so much a political comment, but one on a point of fact, because we can't get the facts right. I think it's difficult to have any kind of real political discourse. So in your soundbite with the president at the middle school,
mm-hmm.
he's talking about... the internet and government support for all that, and of
right,
course
right.
That's absolutely correct. But that's
I think everybody knows.
Yeah.
It DARPA. Started out. I think the acronym was DARPA. Hey, can you hold on a second, Steve? I got to do a break here. We'll come right back and pick up the conversation. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
I'm never getting it anymore. Oh, the prickly
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Searchdog USA.
Ooh, are you okay?
Oh, it's my arthritis pain.
Here, try my Aleve.
People with arthritis are sharing their good news about Aleve. Just two Aleve have the strength to stop arthritis pain all day. That would take eight extra strength Tylenol. So try Aleve and see for yourself. Then share your good news. Comparison based on 24-hour label dosing. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
May is Arthritis Month. Join Aleve and the Arthritis Foundation for the annual Arthritis Walk taking place nationwide. For more information, visit AleveGoodNews.com.
Rumors on the internets that we're going to have a draft. We're not going to have a draft, period.
Yeah, out there on the internets, you'll find all sorts of stuff, right? Okay, back to Steve in Scarborough, Maine. Steve, you wanted to talk to us about
signal? Yes, just briefly. So the interesting thing is Mr. Bush segues from a brief history of the internet, in which he's absolutely correct.
Right.
The iPod, with the micro drives and signal compression.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, so you go to the Apple website, and they have a little section on the technologies they use.
Uh-huh.
And they use, of course, MP3, which you've probably heard of,
right.
And their own little formulation called AAC for Advanced Audio Coding.
Mm-hmm.
MP3, of course, well, maybe Mr. Bush was referring to sort of general support of grad students or something, but it turns out MP3 is in fact an invention of the Fraunhofer Institute in Germany. In fact, anybody who builds or uses a commercial product using MP3 coding has to pay a license fee to the Fraunhofer.
Uh-huh.
And AAC, which is, I believe, the native format of the iPod, is the next generation, and that was done by what's known as the MPEG, Motion Picture Expert Group, Consortium, and that's a group of companies that's Dolby, the Fraunhofer again, AT&T, Sony, and Nokia,
uh-huh.
and of course Apple. So,
well, wasn't it, to
well,
what
I don't see the federal government funding. If anything, you should give credit to the Germans.
Yeah, right. Well, what is Stephen Jobs' connection with iPod?
Presumably Jobs is the fellow who said, we're going to get into the whole, we're going to be the number one media player and media vendor, and he sees the sort of correct correlation of things to put together when he makes really great products.
So what you're
saying... But to say that it's supported by the federal government,
right,
which is the statement that Mr. Bush was making, I don't see where he gets that.
So the MP3s, the MPEGs, and the iPod technology is strictly private and in most instances foreign development.
Well, the MP3 stuff is definitely, it's patented by the Fraunhofer Institute. In fact, as I say, you use it, you have to pay a license fee.
Uh-huh.
So that's a pretty definite clue.
Well, listen, Steve, maybe what you can do is just dash off a quick email to the new White House Chief of Staff and just let him know, what you just...
But it's on the Apple website.
Send him a link to the Apple website. That's great stuff. Steve, thanks for checking in, pal. I appreciate it. Hope you call again. It's just, and I do appreciate that, Steve, what Steve had to say. It's just dumbfounding, though, isn't it, to hear Bush talk about the things he tried to talk about at this middle school. I mean, oh, my God. Let's see, D.B. Cooper is calling from Michigan. Is this the real D.B. Cooper? I thought you were dead.
Oh, wouldn't you like to know, Mike?
You're the guy that bailed out of the jetliner with all that money about 25 years ago, right?
I'll never tell you whether that's true or not, but I really like the movie with Treat Williams.
Yeah, all right.
The last good movies he had.
Well, D.B., welcome to the program.
Hi, and I've been listening to Air America here for the longest time. You and Randy and Al, you guys rock. It's great.
Well, thanks.
That's what everybody calls and tells you. But it was when I heard Parabola, a rapping student, and I'm thinking, all right, I had parabolas in part of my drafting kit.
Right.
A parabola curve. That's just as redundant as in a global world.
Right.
All right. So, my girlfriend and I were just sitting here, we'd laugh, and we damn near fell out of our chairs. But anyway, yeah, I'm just reinforcing the obvious. I understand that. Just wanted to call and tell you that, and I'm glad we held. And thank you for not having all those commercials on the telephone side of it, because we listen to you on the Internet.
Right. Yeah. Well, when you listen on the Internet, you're spared the agony or the ecstasy, take your pick, of lengthy commercials. If you listen to radio stations, of course, you hear all sorts
we hear them on the Internet, too. And I know the times of the hour when you throw the commercials on. I mean, I'm...
DB, you can't... Oh, DB. All right. DB has been removed from... DB! Don't talk like that on the air! That's the thing about this program. People do get carried away. They get enthusiastic. They hear me using vile language, but there are certain words you just can't use. And Our engineers will cut you immediately because the last thing Air America needs right now is a hefty fine from the FCC.
Well, that's the problem when you're listening on the internet.
Yeah.
You tend to forget that, you know, this is going over terrestrial radio.
That's very true. But DB, call in again. Call in again. Love to hear from you again. Just be careful. All right, we'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
Celebrate it, be an idiot, act lonely, stay ignorant, be remedial, wear the dust cap, slouch open, drool like a hunchback, don't discuss things, shout the last word, put your wristlet out the pasture, drop your IQ, that's what I do, my advice to girls and guys who want to be a Nobel Prize finalist, rocket scientist, try applying this, keep the customers coming around, if you're smart then you better start dumbing it down, don't say anything too profound, dumb it down.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement, and now we're trying to develop a Silver Rights Movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 75,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals. Call right now and we'll also include for free the RX Saver discount prescription card. The RX Saver is accepted in most pharmacies nationwide and provides savings of up to 60% off most medications. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Use the Optimum Health discount card risk-free for 30 days and start saving now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
We'll be right back.
We are in part three, chapter one of George Orwell's 1984. Last night we left off with Winston Smith has been arrested. He's in the Ministry of Love in a cell. People are coming and going, people in various stages of physical abuse, probably not unlike, well, I don't want to contemporize it. The scene we ended up with last night was a chinless man was brought into the room, the holding cell, and tossed inside, and obviously had just come from interrogation. So let's pick it up there. His body was flung across the cell and fetched up against the base of the lavatory seat. For a moment he lay there stunned, with dark blood oozing from his mouth and nose. A very faint whimpering or squeaking, which seemed unconscious, came out of him. Then he rolled over and raised himself unsteadily on hands and knees. Amid a stream of blood and saliva, the two halves of a dental plate fell out of his mouth. The prisoners sat very still, their hands crossed on their knees. The chinless man climbed back into his place. Down one side of his face, the flesh was darkening. His mouth had swollen into a shapeless, cherry-colored mass with a black hole in the middle of it. From time to time, a little blood dripped onto the breast of his overalls. His gray eyes still flitted from face to face, more guiltily than ever, as though he were trying to discover how much the others despised him for his humiliation. The door opened. With a small gesture, the officer indicated the skull-faced man. "Room 101," he said. There was a gasp and a flurry at Winston's side. The man had actually flung himself on his knees on the floor with his hands clasped together. "Comrade! Officer!" he cried. "You don't have to take me to that place. Haven't I told you everything already? What else is it you want me to... that you want to know? There's nothing I wouldn't confess. Nothing. Just tell me what it is, and I'll confess straight off, write it down, and I'll sign it. Anything. Not room 101. "Room 101. Said the officer. The man's face, already very pale, turned to color Winston would not have believed possible. It was definitely, unmistakably, a shade of green. "Do anything to me! You've been starving me for weeks. Finish it off and let me die. Shoot me! Hang me! Sentence me to 25 years. Is there somebody else you want me to give away? Just say who it is. I'll tell you anything you want. I don't care who it is or what you do to them. I've got a wife and three children. The biggest of them isn't 6 years old. You can take the whole lot of them and cut their throats in front of my eyes, and I'll stand by and watch. But not room 101. "Room 101, said the officer. The man looked frantically round at the other prisoners, as though with some idea that he could put another victim in his own place. His eyes settled on the smashed face of the chinless man. He flung out a lean arm. "That's the one you ought to be taking, not me! You didn't hear what he was saying after they bashed his face. Give me a chance, and I'll tell you every word of it. He's the one that's against the party, not me!" The guard stepped forward. The man's voice rose to a shriek. "You didn't hear him! Something went around the telescreen. He's the one you want! Take him, not me!" The two sturdy guards had stooped to take him by the arms, but just at that moment, he flung himself across the floor of the cell and grabbed one of the iron legs that supported the bench. He had set up a wordless howling like an animal. The guards took hold of him to wrench him loose, but he clung on with astonishing strength. For perhaps 20 seconds they were hauling at him. The prisoners sat quiet, their hands crossed on their knees, looking straight in front of them. The howling stopped. The man had no breath left for anything except hanging on. Then there was a different kind of cry. A kick from the guard's boot had broken the fingers of one of his hands. They dragged him to his feet. "Room 101, said the officer. The man was let out, walking unsteadily, with head sunken, nursing his crushed hand. All the fight had gone out of him. A long time passed. If it had been midnight when the skull-faced man was taken away, it was morning. If morning, it was afternoon. Winston was alone, and had been alone for hours. The pain of sitting on the narrow bench was such that often he got up and walked about, unreproved by the telescreen. The piece of red still lay where the chinless man had dropped it. At the beginning, it needed a hard effort not to look at it. But presently, hunger gave way to thirst. His mouth was sticky and evil-tasting. The humming sound and the unvarying white light induced a sort of faintness, an empty feeling inside his head. He would get up because the ache in his bones was no longer bearable, and then would sit down again almost at once because he was too dizzy to make sure of staying on his feet. Whenever his physical sensations were a little under control, the terror returned. Sometimes, with a fading hope, he thought of O'Brien and the razor blade. It was thinkable that the razor blade might arrive concealed in his food if he were ever fed. More dimly, he thought of Julia. Somewhere or other, she was suffering perhaps far worse than he. She might be screaming with pain at this moment. He thought, if I could save Julia by doubling my own pain, would I do it? Yes, I would. But that was merely an intellectual decision, taken because he knew that he ought to take it. He did not feel it. In this place, you could not feel anything except pain and foreknowledge of pain. Besides, was it possible, when you were actually suffering it, to wish for any reason that your own pain should increase? But that question was not answerable yet. The boots were approaching again. The door opened. O'Brien came in. Winston started to his feet. The shock of the sight had driven all caution out of him. For the first time in many years, he forgot the presence of the telescreen. "They've got you, too!" he cried. "They got me a long time ago," said O'Brien, with a mild, almost regretful irony. He stepped aside. From behind him, there emerged a broad-chested guard with a long, black truncheon in his hand. "You know this, Winston," said O'Brien. "Don't deceive yourself. You did know it. You have always known it." Yes, he saw now he had always known it. But there was no time to think of that. All he had eyes for was the truncheon in the guard's hand. It might fall anywhere, on the crown, on the tip of the ear, on the upper arm, on the elbow. The elbow! He had slumped to his knees, almost paralyzed, clasping the stricken elbow with his other hand. Everything had exploded into yellow light. Inconceivable, inconceivable that one blow could cause such pain. The light cleared, and he could see the other two looking down at him. The guard was laughing at his contortions. One question, at any rate, was answered. Never, for any reason on earth, could you wish for an increase of pain. Of pain, you could wish for only one thing, that it should stop. Nothing in the world was so bad as physical pain. In the face of pain, there were no heroes. No heroes, he thought over and over as he writhed on the floor, clutching uselessly at his disabled left arm.
Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement, and now we're trying to develop a Silver Rights Movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
It's about 13 before the hour. Thanks to the crew, Justin Yuen, Jason Isaac, and Vicki Hibble, who engineered the program in New York. Dee Neal is our associate producer. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, archives the program. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Catherine Bay is the executive producer. Back to the phone calls. Charles is calling from Connecticut. Charles, welcome to the program.
Hello again, Mike.
Hey, Charles.
You know, I thought it was so sad and yet quaint when the generals called for Rumsfeld to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you know, and we would like somebody apt to be put in place.
Somebody what?
Somebody capable, somebody apt.
Oh, apt, okay.
And it was, when anybody in this regime has been pushed out or has left to spend more time with their family, have they been replaced by anybody more capable?
Hell no.
Because it's what the media is dutifully selling, that this is a major shakeup. If you put lipstick on a pig, you got a pig with lipstick.
That's very true. But see, you're expecting media to report this in a manner that, I don't know, gives it more gravitas than it really has, and that's what media is doing. I like what Sidney Blumenthal said today. You know, none of this matters worth a squat. Doesn't mean anything. This is just, it's more look over here while I pick your pocket.
I think Rove is now more dangerous than he was before, because they've now officially put the wizard behind the curtain.
That's right.
And, you know, I haven't listened to network news in well over 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
I got tired of screaming at Tom Brokaw, "That's very nice that you like mountain climbing. Can you tell me something useful to me?"
Right.
And as much as I like Oberman, I watch because I find him entertaining and he laughs at the same things I do.
Right.
Other than that, at the most, he'll make a brief mention of something. But nothing's changed here. It's completely the same. They tried to put this alongside of a story that Americans are living longer. It just seems that way.
Right. All right, Charles, let me move on. And thanks a lot for checking in. I do appreciate it. Always good to hear from you, Charles. Yeah, that was the big story all over the network news tonight, is that Americans are living 18 months longer now on average. Woo! AJ is calling from Fort Lauderdale. AJ, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. First of all, I'd like to thank you for being one of the few voices of reason that, you know, basically got a firm grasp on the obvious.
A firm grasp on the obvious, right?
Right. You know, I mean, you know, you got to be, you know, pretty much, you know, one of the few people that does realize that Bush is basically dumber than a bucket of hair.
Yeah.
And
you did say bucket, right?
Right. Bucket,
yeah. Okay.
Of hair.
I got you.
I just, you know, earlier in the show, you were. When you were first talking, you know, and he first mentioned the word parabolic, I had this vision running through my head of this cartoon that used to be on the air about 2 or 3 years ago called I Am Weasel. I'm not sure if you've ever seen it or not.
No, I don't think so.
It's basically got one character is a weasel that, you know, sounds educated and intelligent, and then his counterpart, which is a baboon. Is IR baboon, and I had this flashback of this baboon with Bush's voice coming out of its mouth.
Yeah.
And, God, I wish it was still on the air, because I'd tape a few of Bush's speeches and sync it up just right, and I bet you I could make tons of money with it.
Well, you know, as you're talking, AG, it just occurs to me, you know, we can laugh about this, and I think people of reasonable intelligence can laugh about it. What about the millions who still support him, who think that he's a godly man and Christ talks to him, and he's a leader of the free world, and he's on a mission? Oh my God!
Oh, I know. I have a friend that about every 2 weeks I ask him, So, are you still a Bush supporter? And he goes, oh, yeah, Bush is one of the best things that's ever happened to this country. And I was like, oh, really? Okay. And I'm just waiting, because about every 2 weeks I ask him, and every 2 weeks it gets a little bit more subtle. You know, not quite as loud as it was before. Right. And I figure, you know, it might take a while because this guy ain't too bright, but, you know, I can't believe that this guy is not on trial for treason.
I know.
100 years ago, this guy would have been swinging from a noose.
Oh, it's just unbelievable.
Right. And the thing is, you know, as far as the media, they're still using that media card saying, oh, yeah, it's the liberal media. You know, the liberal media does this. The liberal media does that. And it's the same people that are you know, supporting the Carlyle Group.
Yeah.
People are wondering how this guy got into office. The way he got into office was his dad was the head of the CIA. He was the top spook. He basically got naked pictures of half the people in and half the judges in the country doing a goat. You know, I mean, you know, that's basically how it happened.
I got you, AJ. Listen, pal, I've got to leave it there. I really enjoy. You're very entertaining. I'm glad you called. Take care.
I appreciate it, Mike.
All right, take care. Drive safe. I know you're driving, so take it easy. You know, talking about naked pictures, we didn't get to the story. We'll try to get to it tomorrow night. These two real fine Americans who have pled guilty of massive millions of dollars of defrauding the U.S. taxpayer by stealing money that went for reconstruction projects in Iraq, these two upstanding examples of Republican citizenship, they're spilling their guts, hoping, of course, to get a lighter sentence. And I wanted to get to that tonight, but didn't make it there. But the headline from this was in the Sydney Morning Herald, Sydney, Australia, and I think it was also in the LA Times. But the headline is "Sex and Money Bought Iraq Contracts," and what they talk about is using prostitutes. These two guys, in order to. We'll talk about it tomorrow. It's just vile. You know, the first person that I'm aware of that caught my attention 3 years ago who really started hammering the graft and the fraud and the thievery in Iraq was Bartkop. You guys go to bartkop.com. I'm sure everybody that listens to this program listens or goes to Bartkop. But he has been hammering that for 3 years now, literally the billions of dollars that have been stolen. It's just a shame. Barry is calling from Portland, Oregon. Barry, welcome to the program.
Mike, hi. It's nice to talk with you.
My pleasure.
Yeah, I have a lot of things to say. I don't know if I could get them on.
You got about a minute and a half, Barry.
Okay, I'll be real quick.
I'm sorry. If you call in, I swear to God, if you call in tomorrow or Friday, I'll put you on. I know you've been holding on for over an hour.
I sure want to. Yeah, a book that I read, All the Shaw's Men by Stephen Kinzer, and what's his name, Mike Hoffman. He was a soldier in Iraq, and he came back and joined Veterans for Peace, and then he was talking about a lot of things, and he said, well, why didn't we ask what happened, you know, when that the World Trade Center was collapsed and stuff? Why? Why didn't we ask why? Well, the book by Stephen Kinzer, All the Shaw's Men, it talks about Kermit Roosevelt. She is a relative of Franklin D. Roosevelt was good.
Right.
Okay, but anyway, Kermit Roosevelt, how in 1953 when the CIA first came into being, he went over, all these guys were jumping, hey, we can attack countries and throw down empires and stuff. And he went over to Iran to get Mohammad Mosaddegh, a beautiful man, a wonderful person, intelligent and wise, to get him out of power.
Right, and we installed the Shah, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah, but the way he did it was so rotten and low.
Barry, I'm going to have to ask you to bring us that part of the story the next time we talk, because we're flat out of time, okay? Do call again.
Okay, thank you very much.
Because I want to hear what you got to say, okay?
Okay, you take care.
All right, Barry. You too. Time just rips by when you're having fun, doesn't it? I'll see you tomorrow night. All right? Thanks for participating in the program this evening. Take care. Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Every generation has a story to tell. For those who lived through the war in Iraq, it's The Last True Story I'll Ever Tell by John Crawford. The New York Times best-selling account of a man who opposed the war but fought on the front lines. The Last True Story I'll Ever Tell is the first on-the-ground memoir to make an impact, raves the Times Book Review. Jon Stewart of The Daily Show says it's a wonderful read. Time magazine calls it harrowing and exquisite. Read The Last True Story I'll Ever Tell, now a Riverhead paperback.
Your beautiful tree attacked by insects, and the damage isn't pretty. So backed by Bayer's 100 plus years of crop science expertise, Bayer Advanced created Tree and Shrub Insect Control with Merit, the only product to protect your tree for a full 12 months without any spraying. Just mix and pour at the trunk and it's shielded from roots to tops. We don't hate bugs, we just love trees. Bayer Advanced Tree and Shrub Insect Control. Better science, better results.